Huberto moving in, waiting. Huberto to the backhand. Hoobie dooby doo. We are tied at two. What a goal. Loose puck at center. Barkov looking to get a step on Mete. Barkov to the net. Barkov between the legs. Unbelievable. Did you just do that, Alexander Barkov? The Panthers are back on top.
Hello and welcome back to the Florida Hockey Podcast. Justin Bedford alongside Noah Russo. How you doing this week, buddy?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Not too bad. Not too bad. Busy week for sure, but we're here. Not too much going on around the league. We were just talking before this, not really anything extra special going wrong. No really league-wide news other than maybe the Hall of Fame induction ceremony where we had Roberto Luongo, Panthers legend, going to the Hall. In your opinion, Roberto Luongo, easy vote for a Hall of Famer?
I think so. Like, he was so good for so long. Even though he had kind of the bulk of his, like, prime in Vancouver, I don't think anybody can take away from what he did in Florida. I don't think it was even a difficult decision for Hall of Fame.
No, like, the thing is, like, to me, like, We grew up during, you know, River Luongo's time in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And he was always, you know, among one of the best goalies in the league. And so in my head, I was like, easy vote for a Hall of Famer. Right. But right. Then when you look when you actually look at his career accomplishments, is not as impressive as you would think.
It really isn't.
The thing that stands out is fourth all-time in wins, which is big, and especially because he played on some not great teams.
Mm-hmm.
And was, you know, the best player on some of those teams. But he never won a Vezina. He never won a Stanley Cup. He, you know, he won some Olympic gold medals. But outside of that, there isn't really much, but still, in my mind, easy vote for a Hall of Famer.
Right, and it's kind of like that. It's the he got so close.
He did. Really get, did. He got very close.
He got really close, and it's kind of a shame that like we can't say that he had a Stanley Cup, but like, man, if there was ever like a good guy that would like just deserve one, I think he would be pretty far up at the top of that list.
Well, I think like you would have to say he's one of the best players ever to never win a cup.
Yeah.
And I think you'd have to say he's probably one of the best goalies to never win a cup.
I think so.
Right. When you're looking at that list, like it's like he's there, Lundqvist would be there, Carey Price would probably be in the mix. So to me, it's unfortunate they never, like, I wish he would have won one,
mm-hmm.
but undoubtedly in that generation of goalies, you know, him, Lundqvist, Fleury, to me, those guys are all Hall of Fame caliber goalies, despite not winning a cup, except for Fleury, obviously.
Yeah, I think so too. It's like, and they kind of defined a generation of goaltending. You know, like that was just like that was an entirely different generation of goaltenders than what we have now.
Yeah.
And there's probably even one between what we have now and them. Like they were instrumental in shaping that, and they were kind of the pioneers isn't the right word, but you know, these guys were They really, it was a new breed.
Yeah. They were all, very good young goalies. And like a big thing for me is also with Luongo, it's the longevity of his career too. Like
Yeah.
there are some goalies, like goaltending is a very uncertain position in the league. There aren't a ton of goalies who are very good year over year, and that's what Luongo was. He was, the model for consistency along
Yep.
with a couple of those other guys. So to have him in the Hall of Fame is just fantastic, and also to go in alongside his good friends from Vancouver, the Sedin brothers, is also super cool to see.
It really was like just the three of them were so like and we're kind of going apart, and that was just the for Vancouver, like they carried a franchise like on the ice and off the ice. Like you can't forget about that. And they were like they were the franchise, and they were so important to that organization. And that's it was really cool to see all three of them get inducted at the same time. So yeah, it's just it's kind of sad because you kind of remember your first hockey memories, and they kind of those players were all part of it, and you got to see them retire, and now like Hall of Fame, like it's kind of the end of an era, but it's really, really good to see and made me happy.
Yeah, it made me happy too. I mean, I was really happy. I was able to see Roberto Luongo once live during his career. And it was the game after the Parkland shooting, and he did a speech before the game.
Oh, wow.
And that was like really powerful, really cool to see. And you can see like in that speech, like what like the community of like South Florida means to him as well. Right, like it's where he lives, right? It's where his family is, it's where he wants to be. So that was really cool. So I'm really happy to see a player like that getting honored.
Yeah, I definitely think so too. And it's, yeah, you're happy for the guy. You know they've been through so much that it's just really good to see them actually like especially for somebody like Luongo, like to never win the most prized possession but still be recognized as the greatest of all time. Like that's it must mean a tremendous amount to them.
Oh, I'm sure it does. It's a huge honor, I think, for any player. Before we move on, though, I have one last question for you. Do you think there are any future Hall of Famers on the current Panthers roster?
Yes.
All right, who do you think it is?
I think Barkov.
I think if Barkov wins, let's say two more Selke trophies over his career and hopefully wins a cup. I think he's
Like, if he wins a cup, it's a lock.
if I think if he wins a cup and he wins another Selke, absolutely a lock.
Like, absolute lock.
Right?
Yeah. I'm trying to think if there anybody if there's anybody else.
I got two other names of
Like,
guys.
I'd love to see Aaron Ekblad get a look.
Yeah, it's t like
But
if he needs a
it's tough.
Norris.
He gets injured so often. He hasn't been able to like put up like anyways. Bobrovsky with two Vezinas, if he could somehow win a third.
He's
I
not
know it's
looking like
asking
that
for I know it's
recently.
asking for a ton, but my more realistic, I think like why not Spencer Knight?
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. I wasn't even thinking.
And we'll see how Matthew Tkachuk's career goes, because you never know.
Yeah, if he can be a 100-point guy for like,
Every season, yeah.
then he's probably all right. And again, wins a cup at least one in there. Yeah,
Yeah.
he's probably looking like a Hall of Fame guy. The other guy, though, who I'm surprised you didn't mention, and I'm also equally as surprised that this man is still on the Florida Panthers. What about Eric Staal?
Yeah, like probably. I just.
He's got a cup. He's got some gold medals. He's got a couple 100-point seasons.
He'll definitely.
No, he has get one.
He'll definitely get into the Hall of Fame, I think. But he's not. Is he really a Panther?
No, that's the thing. It's like he is, but should he be? The answer is no. Like, please, yeah, no.
Exactly.
But definitely some candidates, but it's so early in a lot of these guys' careers. Like, you couldn't really tell. Like, there are some guys, like, very early in their career, you could be like, they're a lock. Like, McDavid's a lock. Like, Matthews is probably a lock, right?
Yep.
Right. Ovechkin, Crosby, locks, right? But a lot of these guys, it's just too early to tell, and I think they need to have some level of team success or international success to really make the case for them.
Mm-hmm.
But there are definitely some candidates in there. But speaking about Eric Staal, though, transitions really well into the next thing I wanted to bring up. Rudolph Bolster's going on waivers and then subsequently getting claimed by the Tampa Bay Lightning. Do you like this move?
Well, no, because you're losing a guy for free, but at the same time, like, it is what it is. It's part of the business. I see why he got claimed.
Well, the thing, like, I really like Rudy Ballsers. I think I liked what he brought to this team, right? A lot of versatility as a player. He can play with a bit of grit. He's got some skill. So I really liked what he brought to this Panthers lineup. I saw some people reacting on Twitter as like, oh, this is like the worst thing ever, like to lose Rudy Bolsters and to lose him to Tampa Bay, no less. I'm like, yeah, that hurts. But he isn't like there is a reason he's on waivers. He's not
right.
unbelievable. Like, I think he's a very good player. I think there are definitely some people I would have put on waivers ahead of him, like an Eric Staal.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I get, like, they had to put somebody on waivers. He probably wouldn't have been the guy I would have picked. And I'm sure Florida didn't want to. They just kind of felt like he was the extra guy. But,
yeah.
And then just seeing him go to Tampa, though, also sucks.
It really does.
Like, because I do think, like, he's an NHL quality player. Like, he's a bottom six guy, but he's an NHL quality player. And Tampa Bay is a team that's struggling right now. They're a bit thin all around their lineup. And they just added some depth by bringing in Rudy Bolsters. So you also hate to see that.
You really do. And it's like, because you know Zito would have probably never traded him to Tampa.
No.
Like, even getting a return. So that's the frustrating part. I agree.
Right. Like, if he had gone somewhere else, it's like, you know what? If it's a place where he's going to get, like, more ice time, more opportunity. Like, if he got claimed by, like, Arizona, I'm like, that sucks for Rudy. But, you know, he's getting a bit more opportunity there because Arizona has, like, nobody. Like, how many players could you name on the Arizona roster right now?
Probably, like, five.
It's my point.
Yeah, it's not good.
Like, I could name a lot because I'd watched them the other night for work, but there's a lot of guys where it's like, what?
I agree. It's kind of crazy. Cause they're actively just trying to lose is what they're doing.
Yeah, it seems like you look at some of the teams out there right now, and it does seem like they're trying to lose.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they have to be.
They have to. There's no other explanation.
Right? Like, there are also some like teams that are just like been shockingly bad. Like, St. Louis is like 5-8 right now.
Anaheim. Yeah, Minnesota picked up. Minnesota picked up from the last time we spoke.
Yeah, well, and I figured they would put it together.
But yeah, Ottawa?
Ottawa's been shockingly bad.
Like, I don't know if it'd be shockingly, but definitely surprisingly.
Yeah, like I don't think anyone was like they're a playoff team this year, like they're a lock, but you thought they'd be better. And they're probably a team that's looking at coaching right now. What?
Like, and yeah, and Dorian, you know, he that was a vote of confidence,
Yeah,
even though
all.
he said it wasn't, but yeah, but
But sure,
Ottawa.
like you finally given DJ Smith like a workable roster, and the results still aren't there.
It's well, that's the thing. But then he comes out and he says, like, oh, we have full support in this guy. And I was like, how? And it's so fascinating because truly it seems that less one or two teams, the divisions have realigned
Yeah.
to what like we would have expected them to be. Like I can see one surprise in each, well, one surprise goes with one, like one positive and one negative surprise in each division.
All right, let's go through them.
Yeah.
All right, let's
Okay.
go. Let's start
Do
with the
you want
Metro.
to start? Do you want to start Metro?
Yeah, and I'm gonna guess that you're gonna say your positive surprise has been the New Jersey Devils.
Yeah.
But listen, I had the New Jersey Devils finishing second in this division. This is no surprise to me.
And you know, I thought they were going to be good, but 12-3, that is really good.
Like they've been unbelievable. Like they are scoring goals. They also, right, like they're not like their goaltending's not been good.
No.
And they're still getting these type of results. I'm gonna go like I expected the Islanders to I expect the Devils to be good this year, but I think the Islanders are a bigger surprise.
And then, to be honest, the negative surprise, there's a category for Washington slash Pittsburgh where, like, they just, like, is this the year they finally regress?
Well, and Pittsburgh got off to such a great start this year.
Exactly.
And then
So,
it's just been bad.
that'll be really interesting to monitor if they can pick themselves back up. And then, I don't think anybody expected Columbus to be this bad. Bad, but not this bad.
Yeah, I thought Columbus was going to be better. And they just lost Werenski for the year, too.
Yeah. So
Right?
that's really that's a tough position. But like the good thing for them is there's no urgency. They don't have to be really good this year.
I just think is like Columbus, I thought, yeah, they'd be a little bit better than they have been this year. But I don't like if I'm a Blue Jackets fan, I'm thinking this isn't the worst thing in the world, right? Because they have a ton of really good prospects coming through. You got a really deep draft coming up. You know, if you get one of those top three picks, you know you're getting, you know, probably an impact player with Bedard, Fantilli or Michkov. And even outside that tier, there's some really good players. So
Exactly. So,
I Is not the end of the world for them.
there is by no means am I on the panic button. If I'm the Columbus Blue Jackets, I am just riding this out, and I might even be enjoying the riding it out. If you like, I don't think it's a bad. It's kind of good to be really bad in a season if your team is underperforming.
Well, I think like
You don't want to be last and actually suck. You want to be last and be underperforming.
Yeah, like I think the worst thing is when you're kind of in that like purgatory state of like not quite good enough to make the playoffs or just good enough to make the playoffs, but not good enough to win, right? Like if you're in that middle tier, like that sucks. But when you're at the top of the league or when you're at the bottom of the league, at least you can be optimistic about
Like,
something.
exactly. I think there's validity in saying like there is no point in competing unless you know for a fact that you will be like good. Like
Yeah.
and this is a position where Columbus, it's like they're not by any means a cup contender. They'd be lucky to be competing for a playoff spot this season. I think we can all agree that's where we thought they'd be.
Yeah.
Might as well be last and get something out of it rather than finish, I don't know, 20th in the NHL and get diddly squat. Like,
Yeah, I know. There's a guy I follow on Twitter, and he puts out like I don't know if it's weekly or monthly, but he puts out like an NHL like fan base like sadness indicator with like analytics of like based on where your team's projected to finish, like how like sad you should be. and all the, and like the saddest ones are in that like middle group of like bad but not bad enough.
Yeah.
Cuz that's where it sucks. Right? Like we remember from the years where the Panthers they weren't very good, right? But at least every year I was like, "Oh, like an Aaron Ekblad, a you know, an Alexander Barkov, a Huberto, like at least you're getting like a good young player."
Right.
At least like with a high pick. So there's something to be excited about, but being in that middle group is just terrible. And right now that's where, you know, it looks like you're going to find teams like Pittsburgh and Washington.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I imagine they'll both leapfrog Philadelphia because they've been sliding on account of just being a bad hockey team.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. We'll get to the Atlantic in a set and after we do the West, but teams that started off hot are not hot anymore. And those are the teams you'd expect not to be hot. So, yeah. And that's kind of what I'm talking about, this realigning. And if we go over to Central.
Oh, we're hopping Central next?
Yeah, or we can do Pacific. It's as you wish. I figure we do the Atlantic at the end.
No, you take control here. Let's go Central.
Yeah. So I personally would have never expected the Winnipeg Jets to be second in this division.
Well, that's because you don't believe in Connor Hellebuck at all.
Can you blame me?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a terrible, terrible opinion to have. Also, but, like, it should be noted, by the way, the Winnipeg Jets, like, for the first, I don't know, I think he's back now, but they didn't have Rick Bowness behind the bench.
He had COVID.
Yeah.
Like,
so with, like, a replacement coach and they're still second in that division.
Stripping the captaincy from Wheeler completely, like, it's just.
It's a great look for Blake Wheeler's leadership abilities.
The fact that the Winnipeg Jets are doing so well right now, I think that's just a shock. And
that's also with Kyle Connor not scoring, by the way.
Exactly. Like, they've been playing some just really good Winnipeg hockey, I think I'd like to call it.
I think it's the Sam Gagner effect.
And there's always a coinciding, like, negative surprise in St. Louis.
Shocking.
What has been going on in St. Louis?
And it's honestly, like, I've watched, like, St. Louis play a bunch this year. And they don't look as bad as that record is. They really don't.
And like, I can already, like, see the headlines. Like, if they bounce back, it's going to be like, oh, they were last, like, this. They're underperforming as well. They're in the same category here, but they should be a little more concerned than Columbus.
Yeah, because they're not anticipating being exactly as bad. Right. Exactly. And we are closing in on, like, that 20-game mark of the season, and that's kind of when you really figure things out as to what teams are and aren't, for the most part. For me, like, the Central is a bit of a mashup right now where I didn't anticipate Nashville and St. Louis being as bad as they are. And Arizona and Chicago have also been better than what I thought they would be. I do think, like, Winnipeg's obviously the clear surprise with how good they've been. But Chicago's been decent too. And I like that their whole, like, organizational philosophy at this point is kind of just like, oh, we're vibing. Like, if we're bad, we're bad. And they're still not even that bad.
Yeah, like, I would have definitely expected Nashville to be ahead of both Arizona and Chicago.
Absolutely. 100%. And right now, those teams are playing them. Kirill Vemelka, by the way, playing really good hockey in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And Neffin.
That was one of the five players on Arizona I could name.
Yeah.
I could not spell his name, though.
No one can. It cannot be done. Yeah, like, they've been, like, they're not great, but they, like, I thought they were going to be, like, last, like, emphatically.
Exactly.
And they got the arena bumping, like, their little college barn. They're doing all right.
And they love it, I think.
I think lean into it, right?
Yeah.
Like, I would, like.
Yeah, and I think it is a decent atmosphere to watch a hockey game. I just don't think anything other than watching a hockey game there is great, especially for the players, like, visiting team and home team. Like, I still don't think Arizona has their dressing room built.
No, it's not done yet. Once they get that built, I think it's going to be fine.
It's going to be fine, but it's also going to be in a separate building. So I don't know how how great it's going to be.
Yeah, at least there's no snow. Don't have to walk
That is
outside. It's
true.
like still
That is
nice
true.
out.
Very
And I think the
snow.
players also like that the arena is like actually like easy to get to.
And there's like,
So,
yeah, it's probably cold.
and I also agree with like, I've watched like a lot of games around the league, and like the games are, I know there's only 5,000 people in that ring, but they are loud, and it is like a very intimate environment, and I think it makes for a better fan experience than spreading out 9,000 fans in an 18,000 seat arena.
Yeah, I agree.
Like there are some games I watch on TV, like especially like some of the afternoon games where like it kind of just looks like dead and lifeless.
Yeah.
And so I like that at least they have, you know, something going, and it's, you know, a unique thing.
Yeah.
Like if I was down in Arizona, I would catch a game there for sure. I'm just very curious.
I think so too.
Like, yeah, it's not great for the league, but if I'm a player, I'm a fan, like it's fine. I enjoy
It
it.
is. Yeah, I think it'd be cool to attend.
Oh yeah, like at least like I'm not gonna buy a season ticket, but I'll go. I'll sit in the
Yeah.
student section.
Maybe we should go see the Panthers next year
In
in
Arizona?
Arizona.
Yeah, I got a
Yeah.
place where you can stay.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
No. I wish
Yeah.
I could offer something, but I can't. I don't know anything about this.
Drinks on you.
Huh? Well, we can discuss that at a future time.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. But like, it'd be cool to see. And I also like to like that's in this rink for what, like 3 years,
Yeah.
and it's nice that like in 3 years you're hoping they would actually be like better, and then they can move to their nice rink with a good team. That would coincide nicely with their like extensive rebuild around Barrett Hayton.
And I will never like I don't know about you, but whenever I think slash see Barrett Hayden, like I just the only thing I can picture is his dumbass, the fucking helmet on his head during the Russian national anthem.
Right.
Like, that's literally the only thing I can think of, and it pisses me off.
Oh, when I think of Barrett Hayton, I think the next Tyler Bozak.
Oh, that's a good comparable, though.
Right? Like, honestly, not that bad. Could be worse.
Really could be.
But. Anyway, so they've been decent this year. I'll give them credit. They've been better than I thought they'd be. Should we move
Yeah.
on to the Pacific?
Yes, let's do it.
All right. I mean,
There's no real bad surprise other than, I guess, the Calgary Flames to a certain extent. But I think this is very similar to Minnesota. It's just kind of like reshuffling and they'll catch their stride.
well, and especially because again, Calgary had a lot of changes, especially with their core over the offseason. You can't expect them to just have it all like ready to
No.
go opening night.
You
There's
really
going to
can't.
be some adjustments. And Chris Tanev was hurt. And to me, like, he's one of their most important players on and off the ice for that organization.
Yeah.
Like, he drives the bus for them defensively, as I saw some people saying on Twitter. He's back now. Big win yesterday over the Jets. So I believe the Flames will turn around. So I'm not going to, to me, disappointment, Vancouver. Like San Jose and Anaheim, we knew were awful. Vancouver.
Neither of us had them making the playoffs.
No, but I don't think either of us said they're going to blow like an infinite amount of 2-goal leads.
No, but like, I don't know, sixth in the division, that's probably like, that's not that bad. I see, like, I really didn't expect much from Vancouver, which is why, yes, they've blown all these 2-goal leads, but I'm like, well, yeah, like, what else were they supposed to do? Now,
Well,
I do believe there's an issue organizationally with like where they think they're going and where they're actually going. But other than that, and I think Vancouver's another one like Columbus that if you can manage to finish last with the roster you have, might not be the worst thing.
They're so weird because they have some really, really good young pieces in Besser, Pettersson, Hughes, Demko. Like, those are really good young pieces that teams would love to be able to build around. But then they've just surrounded them with these, like, immovable, like, bloated contracts that make it so hard to surround them with like players. Like, I don't know what the goal was there.
I don't know either, and
it's just bad pro scouting and really good amateur scouting.
Exactly, and that's why I'm like, I'm fine, like, not having them as a surprise, just because they're just what they're doing makes so little sense to me that it's just like, ugh, whatever.
Yeah, I will say off the ice have been very entertaining too. Lots of drama.
I have really enjoyed that part. Yeah.
I love the Vancouver Canucks like Twitter discourse. It's been fantastic. They've been really good for that. But I think like in terms of this division, like that's them and Calgary have been a bit disappointing. I think Seattle and LA are overachieving a little bit of what we thought of them.
Seattle to me is amazing because Seattle does not have like an it guy.
What do you mean? They have an it guy, and it's Matty Beniers.
Like, they do, but, like, on paper, he's not even a point per game. Like, that. Like they don't have one guy who's outproducing everyone.
No, I think the big, like, Seattle, the big moves they made in the offseason, bringing in Burakovsky and Bjorkstrand, which essentially gave them two-thirds of their top line, I think that's huge for them. Because I think a big issue for them last year was they had a lot of guys playing a bit over their head. And now they're able to slot them into like roles where they're better suited.
And in all of this, like in just if I can take a more macro approach, the two main surprises, and I really don't like these surprises, have been Dave Hakstol and Lindy Ruff actually coaching good teams.
Yeah.
And I hate it.
Well, I remember Lindy Ruff. It was like the Devils, they got like blown out like their first game of the season, right? And then they came to play their first home game and they're introducing like the staff and the players. And when Lindy Ruff came out, the fans booed him.
People
and he was like so
gone.
And he was so confused. He was on the bench. He was like, huh, I guess they don't like me. And then last night they're winning against Arizona and you hear the Lindy chants in the crowd.
He just like, and that's a really good story though, because he won them over.
Yeah. Winning cures everything, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And so yeah, he's been very, very good. Vegas has been really good in that division too. Like I think we all kind of thought they'd return back to being the Vegas that we knew, especially with Bruce Cassidy behind the bench. But they've been really dominant in that division. LA, excellent. Gabe Vilardi, he's the guy for them right now. Like, really deep team, and they're kind of just starting to figure it out.
Yeah.
They've done a real nice job of rebuilding there, so give them credit. Should we hop over to the Atlantic, our last division?
Yeah, let's finish it off with the Atlantic.
All right. To me, biggest bad surprise. Like Ottawa, we talked about, right? Like, I wasn't expecting greatness from them. I wasn't expecting they'd run the division, but my God. Alex DeBrincat, could you put the puck in the net when there's a goalie there? He's like, done it once.
Oh,
twice,
it's been,
maybe.
I think he scored last night, so I think he's.
Yeah, I think so too. Wow.
And I'm pretty sure he had scored in like the season opener.
He scored an empty netter.
Yeah, so.
And then he had one more at some point thrown in there.
Oh, he has four now. Wow.
Wow.
Wow. So, yeah, the Ottawa Senators, they made those investments offensively, and you've got to, like, they gave up a 7th overall pick for Alex DeBrincat. They paid Claude Giroux $6 million a year.
Yeah.
And, you know, like those, Tim Stutzel just got paid for an extension.
Josh Norris got paid.
Yeah. Josh
and then
Norris.
To be fair, to be absolutely fair, they did lose their top line center.
Yeah. And I
for
think
the entire
Josh,
year.
Yeah. And I think Josh Norris, I think, was safe bet as a point per game player this season.
Yeah.
I would have put money on that. That is devastating. He is done for the season. That is devastating. That, But
it's hard for a lot of teams to get over.
Like, you can't be this bad, though. That's just not acceptable, I think.
No, but I will say, like, if I was a Sens fan, and obviously our good friend Jacob's a Senators fan.
Yes, Jacob Barker, friend of the show.
At least, like, they're bad. They're not winning games. But, like, at least there's some sense of, like, a little bit of optimism. Like, DeBrincat's not scoring, but you at least have Alex DeBrincat. Shane Pinto's been pretty good. On the back end, Jake Sanderson's looked very good for them. So there's, like, you wanted your team. You thought your team was going to be better this year. You wanted them to be better. They're not, but the future still looks good.
It looks really good.
So you got to be at least happy with that. Thankfully, Tampa Bay's been really bad this year. First of all, this is also a tough division to really analyze, because, like, when we say they're bad, like, there are two teams below 500. Right, like, it's a very good division. It's the reality of it. But when you're looking at the division standings right now, Tampa Bay not been great, which you love to see. Boston's been better than I thought they'd be. I'm not gonna lie.
I think so too. I think
Boston. I think they got to be the clear team that's exceeded expectations.
Boston is definitely the team that has exceeded expectations. They really didn't do much in the offseason.
Well, they did and they didn't. Like, they didn't.
Like, they did off the ice. Like, the coaching change was a big one, and I think that's, we can credit a lot of success to Montgomery and his staff. Like, they've been really, really good. But on, like, I feel like on the ice, they really didn't make that many changes.
Yeah, but they brought in one guy who's been absolutely key.
I know,
David Krejci. He's the guy.
And it's true. Like, I would have been the first. I was the first to say that this guy was washed and he shouldn't come back.
David Krejci, one of the most underrated players of our generation. These are the facts.
It's kind of true.
He's, like, been a 70-point guy for, like, a good while.
And isn't it crazy to
think, as a second line center?
Yeah. It's no, the Boston Bruins are the clear-cut surprise in my mind. 13-2. I think they're first in the NHL.
Yeah, they gotta be, right? It's them or Vegas.
It's like, and Vegas is, you know,
Boston,
Vegas is the ones who got their coach.
Yeah.
So no, what Boston has been able to do, minus, and this is a shame, the Mitchell Miller situation has to be the first thing you talk about when you talk about the Boston Bruins so far this year, and, like, the incompetency and management to, like, deal with something like that, I think is the primary focus. But if you look at their on ice performance, they've been pretty freaking good.
I know, like, but imagine being that good on the ice and thinking, oh my goodness, how could we just, like, quickly lose our fan base real quick?
Exactly.
You know, they were trying to go for this whole, like, last dance type thing, you know, last year with the Bergeron, we'll bring back Krejci, new face behind the bench, it's Phil Jackson, right? Like, they're going for it. And then they're like, nah, let's just make ourselves really unlikable real quick here for no game whatsoever.
Exactly.
very interesting, clear surprise. We'll get in, though. We should talk some more Panthers hockey, but first we got a quick ad read from our good friends over at DraftKings Sportsbook. Hockey fans, it's finally time to hit the ice again, and thanks to DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you're in for the season of a lifetime. New customers can bet $5 on any team and get $200 in free bets if they win. If that wasn't enough excitement, you can turn small bets into bigger payouts with same game parlays. Combine multiple bets, like which team will win, how many goals will be scored, and more for your shot at an even bigger payout. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. You can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN. Bet $5 on any NHL team to win their game and get $200 in free bets if they do. That's code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. All right, Noah. It's time. The Florida Panthers. It has been. It's been an interesting season. I don't really know how to classify it. Where like, I'm seeing a lot of people on Twitter being like, "Oh, fire Maurice. He's a bad coach. It's been a bad season. The Panthers. They're not. They've been unlucky." Like, lads, we're in a playoff spot.
People got to chill.
I think it's a bit overblown. Like, I think maybe that is just some people holding on to the expectations set by last year. But I think when you look at the amount of changes that happened with this team, right, the injuries that they've had, Aaron Ekblad finally did come back to the lineup the other day against Edmonton. I'm like, yeah, this is about what I expected from them this year. And I'm not all that upset by it.
People should be happy, man.
Yeah, I think just enjoy the ride. And obviously, like, yeah, like there are some things to be frustrated with. I get the team has looked horrendous defensively.
Yeah, like you've got to realize that you need hindsight in this. This is just not a Stanley Cup competing year.
Like
those. I personally don't think so.
I mean, I think
the ultimate, like, if you can get to the second round again, I think that is the best case scenario for this team.
Yeah, like they make the playoffs.
And that would make me very happy. If we can make it to the second round, that to me would be a successful season.
Yeah,
like a very successful season.
Yeah,
this,
like to me,
for this group this season, that is my like ideal expectation, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, like for me, it's not Stanley Cup or bust this season. It's make the playoffs, get a little playoff revenue, maybe win a few rounds, enjoy the ride. That's the mentality I'm going into this season with. And it's been, you know, there's been ups and downs for sure. I'm not saying this team's, you know, perfect. I'd love them to do better personally, right? Like, yeah, can the coaching be a little bit better? For sure. I mean, are there some guys that are struggling to produce for sure? I do think also, well, first of all, yeah, I think there's an element of luck that comes into it too. Like, I do think they've been a bit unlucky in some games. Like,
yeah.
Last night against Edmonton was the afternoon, but they were the better team in that game. They deserve to win that game. They don't win that game, and I don't think it's anything they did wrong particularly. Like, they didn't finish their chances, but at a certain point, you kind of just got to credit, like, the goalie. You got goalied.
Exactly. And right? That happens.
Like, they came out flying in the first 11 shots of the game, and Stuart Skinner, who's been like sneaky good this year, really, really like the best goalie by far for the Oilers.
Really good.
Right. And so the game kind of turned into like a goalie showdown, and the Panthers were able to do well in that for a little while. And then kind of the floodgates started opening in the back half of the game. But, you know, they had a lot of great scoring opportunities in that first period. They weren't able to find the back of the net. Part of that is finishing. Part of that is goaltending.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Panthers, like, they're looking good in these games. I think they're generating enough opportunities to win games. It's just putting the puck in the net. They didn't have a lot of calls go their way yesterday either. I know a lot of people complaining about the officiating. I saw the other day, it was not the other day, like about a week ago, The Athletic, they put out an article, which was like, breaking down if the NHL is actually like rigged against your team or rigged in favor of your team.
Interesting.
And they, but for every team, they just found like one little reason to be like, oh, the league's rigged against you.
Which it probably is.
Yeah. It was like the Nashville one. They're like, oh, refs blowing the whistle when the puck's loose in the Stanley Cup final, rigged against you. And it would just point out like one egregious call that's gone against every team and be like, good. The league hates you. It was really good.
Oh, that's really good.
But no, again, that one, I think some calls maybe didn't go the Panthers' way, and hopefully they're able to find that. Like, I think once the puck starts going in, some confidence being built, I think this team, hopefully they're able to string, like, last season, one of the things they were really good at was stringing together like a bunch of wins in a row. They haven't been able to do that this year. And I would love to see them to be able to do that more. I think offensively, they've been fine. Defensively, they haven't been great. Part of that could be coaching. Part of that also could be the personnel and Mark Stahl.
Like that was the problem. Like the problem with building through trades and not building through the draft with roster construction is that you don't get as much control over your salary cap. You don't get, you don't get you don't get as much support from entry level contracts and that type of stuff. And you get into positions where it's really tight financially, and you're forced to make these just like you don't have a choice. You're forced, literally, to make these signings that make sense, kind of, but really aren't okay. And Mark Stahl is one of them.
Yeah, I think you could throw both Stalls in there. I mean, they don't have NHL legs anymore. And this is a Panthers team that wants to play fast, physical, in your face. And you can't really do that when one of your guys is 30 feet behind the play because he can't get up ice.
Exactly.
And that's just what those guys are. Like, it's infuriating to watch.
It really is.
And it's tough because, like, the Panthers, like, they are built through the draft in terms of, like, they have some guys that they've drafted that have been impact players for them, like Barkov, like Ekblad, like Knight, like Lundell. But, those guys are getting paid now, except for Knight and Lundell. And because they're getting paid, you don't have as much room to surround them with guys you'd maybe want to. And yeah, having guys, like, even though they don't play that much, having them out there in your lineup at all kills your team. It kills any momentum that you have, right? Like, if you toss Mark Stahl on the ice, you just know you're going to be penned in your zone for the next minute and a half.
Exactly.
Like,
And
and
like
how are you supposed to build momentum in a game when, because you need that, like, your third and fourth line, you need to throw out there. Basically, you're just trying to, like, grind out the game and get your top guys a rest. It's
exactly.
like you're just trying to kill clock. But you would
You
also
really
just,
are.
you're trying to kill clock and maybe build some momentum. And right now, the bottom half of the lineup's not doing that.
And that's killing the clock is a really interesting concept you brought up, because like the Panthers as they are now, defense, especially with their defensive acumen right now, is the reality is they can't win 60-minute games. They
No.
can't. You can't. So how do you make the games, how do you make the game shorter? How do you make it 55 minutes? How do you make it 50 minutes? How do you make it 45 minutes? And how you do that is like by just trying to take as much time for things as possible. It means maybe not rushing every single time that you have an opportunity to rush. And sometimes it means like just playing a defensive game.
And
And
I don't think this team can play a defensive game right now.
That's the problem, is
They can't walk down a game.
you don't have the like that's the problem. It says a lot about the team, is you have to shorten the game, but you also don't even have enough talent to shorten the game.
Yeah.
It's a very paradoxical situation where you're kind of just screwed.
Yeah, because, like, in a sport with like a time limit, like hockey, right? Like, you're trying to beat the other team, but you're also trying to beat the clock, right? Like, if you're up in a game, you're just trying to last it out till the clock's done. If you're down in a game, it's you need to come back when you have the time. You aren't able to do that when your depth is just sucking the life out of you when it just actively hurts you.
Yep.
You know, your depth doesn't need to win you games, but it can't lose you games. And it is what's costing this team games, along with their special teams, which, my goodness, score a power play goal. Like,
it wouldn't
get
hurt.
It going.
Yeah.
Like, for the life.
Exactly. So it's they're a victim of not necessarily their own success, but they're definitely like a victim of the just the situation they've put themselves in. And it's just it's at a point where you go into the game and you're beating yourself, especially mentally. Is you're just you know, like, okay, like Mark Stahl's gonna play like 13, 14 minutes tonight. Like, if you're Paul Maurice, how's that gonna go? And he doesn't have a choice. He has to play him for that long.
Yeah.
Like, that's just, you have to. He's a body.
Right? And it's tough because it's like, you know, your coach can do some things, but they can't. Like, when you're stuck with the personnel you got, you're kind of limited.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if you give almost any coach a really good lineup, they're going to win games. And I don't think that's, you know, it doesn't indicate that they're a great coach. And if you give them a bad lineup, you can't fault them when those guys aren't able to get the job done.
Exactly.
Like, I don't think Paul Maurice is going to walk into Florida and fix Mark Stahl.
He's not.
I don't think he's going to teach
nobody,
Mark.
Nobody. I don't think anybody could do that.
I don't think he's going to walk in and teach Mark Stahl how to skate at the age of like 38. It just won't be done.
It will not.
But last thing, I do want to talk about the Panthers in this recent stretch of games. Spencer Knight, 3 starts in a row. He's 1-2, including a 40-save shutout against the Carolina Hurricanes, all 3 starts above 900. We talked last episode that the Panthers should be giving Spencer Knight a run of starts. It looks like they listened. What have you thought of Spenny's performance over these 3 games?
He's been really good. He's been so good. He's been demonstrating his value. Like, he's been really, really good.
Yeah, I think, I mean, quite clearly, he's been miles better than Bob this year.
Yeah.
Right? And I think he deserves, like, obviously, you're going to want to get Bob a start at some point. Mm-hmm. But right now, when you're, if you're trying to win games, you have to be playing Spencer Knight right now.
Exactly.
Right? If you're going into a game and you think, oh, this might be a coin flip game, right? This is a really good opponent we're going up against. Play Spencer Knight. If you're going up against like a Columbus, yeah, get Bob a start.
I don't even know if it's that much of a knock to on Bob. It's just like Spencer Knight is playing some really good hockey.
Yeah, I think like obviously the Carolina game, outstanding, outstanding. He's looking a lot more settled in the net, is a big thing for me. He looks a lot more settled. He's less scrambly. I think one of the issues he gets into is when he's just kind of flying around outside the crease. Like, he's just way too aggressive. He's overcommitting. Mm-hmm. He's not doing that as much lately. And I think that's been a huge help. I think, you know, in the Anaheim game, it's a tough game. He gets beat on a penalty shot, but they get the win. Like, the big thing for me is, in 2 of the games, I think he's doing what goalies should do, and you'd hope your goalies would do most nights, which is give your team a chance to win.
Yep.
Right. Like, he played well enough for them to win at Anaheim, and they did. I think he also played well enough for them to beat the Oilers. Like, he, you know, maybe the 1 Tyson Barry goal, which is like an unscreened shot from the point, you would maybe want back. But
yeah,
it's the perfect placement of a shot. Like, and it's a hard shot. So maybe credit to Tyson Barry there. The other Barry goal, it's on a screen, right? He made a ridiculous save on Leon Draisaitl in the first period. So I think Spencer Knight gave you a chance to win that game, and the other guy at the other end of the ice just kind of stole the game. It's that simple, right?
Yep.
He gave him a chance to win in both those games, and then conversely in the Carolina games, I think Spencer Knight, he was huge.
He really was.
You don't, like, I'm like, I think, yeah, I mean, we're big Spencer Knight guys, obviously.
We really are.
Naturally, I mean, but he is the guy. But I'm looking at, like, the game yesterday, and it's like, like they lose that game closely with Spencer Knight and net, and they probably deserve to win based on the way they played and they got goalie at the other end. I don't think that game's particularly close with Bob and net.
No.
Right?
Probably not.
Right? It just isn't. So I'm really happy with what I've seen from him. He's looking much calmer in the net, and I think having some starts in a row allows him to build that rhythm.
Yep.
And so I'm hoping that continues and can get a few more starts here over the next few. Like I would like hit when a guy's hot, like play him.
Exactly. Like, and I honestly think goaltending should be like that because it's so based on streakiness, minus a couple guys in the league. Like, streaks are so important for goalies. Like, when you're on, you're on, and all you want to do is play. And that's why I kind of wish that more teams would give guys, well, maybe not. But no, sorry.
I'm curious to know where you're going with this.
Yeah, I don't even know where I'm going with it. All that to say, definitely, I think you ride the hot hand as long as you have it. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, even if Spencer Knight, let's say, like, he had one, like, if he has one bad game, I'm still probably going back to him the next one, to be honest. If he puts two bad ones together, then I'm like, all right, maybe he's not hot anymore. Go back to
Yeah,
Bob.
It's like, oh, okay.
But, like, you know, everybody has, you know, an off day, right? Like,
exactly.
It's fine, but right now he's playing some good hockey for them. Been by far the better goalie. I'm curious to see when we'll see Bob again. I said last episode I wouldn't look to Bob till Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
But
and I think you owe him that one.
I think he will get that one. I imagine he gets one before that, though, to be honest.
Yeah, I think so too.
But that's what I would ideally like to see. But the strength of schedule, like they got three pretty strong opponents coming up and then Columbus. Like in between now and our next episode, there is three games, Washington, Dallas, Calgary. I think if you go, let's see, that's six available points. I think if you grab it, like, I think you need to grab at least 4 points from the next three.
I think so too, and that's fair. That gives you either one win and two overtime losses, or two wins and one regulation loss. That's realistic. Like that's what we should be going for. Definitely what I would expect and what I would be content with.
Yeah, I'm also looking forward to the. On next Saturday, I'm looking forward to the return of Jonathan Huberdeau to South Florida.
Yeah. I got to see if I can make it to their game in Calgary in a couple weeks.
Ooh.
I was actually, I had the tickets pulled up earlier. On the 29th. So should be good. Matthew Tkachuk's return to Calgary. I don't think he'll get a lot of applause. But it's an interesting stretch that they have, like, going into early December and the end of November.
It isn't a new stretch, and I'm curious, because they got three, like, they got the three good opponents coming up this week, but they're all, like, they're playing different styles.
Yep.
You know, Washington, I would love to see them beat up on Washington, because Washington's pretty hurt right now.
Yeah.
Right, so that to me is, that's a game you should win.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm expecting them to win that one. Dallas is a good team. Like, that top line is ridiculously good for them.
Dallas is going to be the tough one.
But all three of those teams, like, they got some grit. I think Dallas has a really good, like, shutdown game if they can get to a lead early. You can't let that happen. Because if Dallas shuts you down, I don't know if the Panthers are going to be able to work their way out of it.
Yeah.
And then Calgary, I think there's just going to be, you know, a lot of emotion, obviously, with, you know, seeing some old faces for these guys. I'm predicting at least two fights in that game.
I think that's a super realistic win for the Panthers.
The Flames?
Yeah.
It really is, because they're two pretty good teams, but they play very different styles. It's who can get the other team to play their style better.
Exactly.
Right. Like, I think if you get into a track meet with the Flames, you got a good shot. But if you let the Flames just clog up the neutral zone and lock it down and play their really boring Darryl Sutter hockey, you're going to have a tough time because you just don't have the personnel to play like that.
Exactly.
But yeah, I'm predicting at least two fights. I'm going to say Nikita Zadorov fights Sam Bennett.
Okay.
And I'm going to say Blake Coleman fights Radko Gudas.
All right.
That's my prediction for that one. I don't have a score prediction for it, just a fight prediction.
Okay, I like it.
And Matthew Tkachuk draws at least two penalties.
He will. He starts at least five scrums.
100%.
100%.
Yeah, just a little stick between the eyes of Markstrom.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh. That's the other thing too, by the way. Matthew Tkachuk back from suspension after the in the Carolina game. So that's always good to see too. Missed
Yeah,
him.
really good to see.
Really, really good to see. But yeah, I think that does it for this episode. Thank you so much for everyone tuning and listening. We'll be back next week, the brand new episode, talking more Panthers hockey and stuff from around the league. And yeah, we'll see you all then.
Unbelievable! Did you just do that?